Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That reminds me of Psalm 23. The Lord's model prayer, where he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He is not saying, Lord, please do not tempt us. What he is saying there is us as mankind, not Jesus, but us as mankind, we'll find it on our own. Right? Anybody here, you've ever needed someone to help you find temptation? I've never needed it. It's everywhere. So he says, the Lord does not tempt us. He does not bring evil into our lives to draw us away from him. He does not expose us to sin, to get us to sin so he can go, aha, gotcha. Anybody here, your parents ever tempt you like that? Set you up to do wrong just so they can come after you? I don't think I've ever had that in my memory, but I had a few friends that would do that. Their parents would leave $50 bills or something on the kitchen counter, see who'd come by and take it, see who they could trust. God doesn't do that to you. Verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, when sin does what it does, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, I pray that you remove from us the humanistic thinking that if there are certain things we're not allowed to do, it means we're restricted. Lord, there's a lot of terrible things that'd be terrible for us to do. And Lord, you've warned us against them, and you've promised punishment if we do them. Like we raise our children, you're just seeking, Lord, our safety. You're seeking, Lord, our love and devotion. And Lord, you're more than worthy of it for all that you've done for us. Lord, we know that you do not tempt us, but Lord, every good thing comes from you. So Lord, I pray this, that you help us not to seek the living things among the dead. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What is being laid out before us is two different kinds of things we are given. One is death. In that, from that table, you can get anything you want, as much as you want. And you never have to feel guilty for taking from that table. You could do, you go into it, take whatever you want. The only problem is you cannot change the effect that stuff has on you. And when it is done with you, it'll lead to death. What kind of death? Not just dirt nap death, but second death. Eternity in hell. That's what sin gets you. And for the longest time, that's where many of you lived. You could do whatever you wanted, no guilt. You could say and be with whoever you wanted, and it never bothered you because you didn't consider it wrong. You were blind, deaf, and mute to spiritual things. You had no idea whatsoever that it was killing you. It was just, well, that's life. C'est la vie. You never once considered how it was robbing you. You never once considered how it was taken from you, your gold and your future and everything. Just got through. I was looking over. I'm working on a sermon, almost was this morning's sermon, on Ahab. I think I'm going to save it for the men. You look at Ahab. Ahab is the perfect picture of the worst man on earth. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says that he infuriated God more than any other king. You know how cool you have to be to infuriate God more than anybody else? You got to be real worldly to do that. And man, he took the prize. I mean, you imagine when you think of God talking about people. That's David. That's a man after my own heart. As Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As Abraham, he had faith. As Enoch, he walked with God. Ahab, no one made God more angry than Ahab. Wild. There was a time when an opposing king sent a message to Ahab. Ahab, we are coming, and either we will take it by force or you will give it, but I want your gold, I want your wives, I want your children. And you know what Ahab said? I didn't bring my tie today, forgive me. He said, yes, sir. I'll give it to you. All right, well, Ahab, not only am I getting yours, but I'm going to send my messengers over there. And my messengers, they're going to come, and they're going to go through all your stuff, and everybody in your house, and all the other rulers, they're going to go through their stuff, and whatever they like, they're going to put it in their hand. And what does he say? Yes, sir, hold on, let me talk to the boys. Boys, come here. He's going to come over here. He's already got all my stuff, but he's going to come take your stuff, and we're going to be real cool about it. You could take from that table, but it's going to take your money. It's going to take your homes. It's going to take your health. And as long as you're willing to give, it will keep taking. It'll take you to the grave. And the only thing it will ever give back to you is an eternity in hell. You can gobble everything off that table as free. It's free. How much is booze and cussing and lying and cheating and stealing? How much is it? It's free. Don't cost you a thing to go steal. Don't even have to go buy a mask. Just go on in there and, well, I don't have a gun. Do one of these. Don't cost a thing to sin. How much does it cost you to be ugly to another human being, just verbally or physically abusive? Doesn't cost you anything. It's free. Take it. And as long as you don't look over at a God who has expectations and will punish, you will have zero guilt in doing it. Go ahead. But you cannot stop the fact that sin will do what it does. On the other hand, at the other table is every good gift and every perfect gift. On the other side is salvation. The problem is this, for those of us that know God, we know this table. We know everything we want is in this table. Everything we need is in this table. The problem is this, is that we have been welcomed to this table by the blood of Christ. But we keep coming over here to see what they got. I'm going to get some of that. Bring it over here. Well, I'm going to get some pagan idolatry. Pick that. A little bit of humanism. I need a religion that makes me feel good. I'm bringing that over here. And what else you got? Okay, well, it is Saturday and I need to relax. So I'll take some of this and bring that over here. And what's that? I've got some stress. And I know the answer's over here. But this, while it's free. I mean, free. It's free. You know, what do you? What are you going to do about free? We keep looking for life among the dead things. Remember Mary and Martha? What did Jesus say to everybody? I will die. 3 days later, I will rise again. They show up at the tomb. What are they ready to do? Serve God their way. I'm going to show him I love him by completely ignoring what he has said, bringing grave clothes and spices and preservatives so we can show our love for a dead master. What'd the angel say? Why are you looking for living things among the dead? He promised 3 days later, I'm coming back. They didn't show up 3 days later to let him out. They showed up 3 days later to keep him down because in their minds, this is what's right. Did that not make sense? If I die today, I don't know how fast it's going to, I don't know how long it's going to take them to turn around and take care of it, but someone's going to embalm me. Someone's going to put me in a box, hopefully the cheapest one they got. Listen, man, I didn't live fancy. Don't put me in the ground fancy, okay? If someone's got an extra refrigerator box, man, go ahead. I even told Danielle this one time, I go, I die, you buy a new refrigerator, that's two. You got something you and the kids can do something with, and I got a place to lay down until the Lord comes and gets me. They're going to put me in a box, and I'm going to stay there. Why? Because that's what we do. Jesus, who had raised other people from the dead, said, I'll be back in three. But in their minds, it didn't make sense. And I want you to lock in on that idea. In their minds, it didn't make sense that God said what he said. In their minds, it didn't make sense this is the way it's going to go. Because in our finite, always human mind, things go the way they've always gone. Almost like that idea of inertia. The object at rest will stay at rest unless another object with force acts upon it. Right? I don't know whose pencil this is, but I've been playing with it. That pencil is going to stay there till you come get it. Or I accidentally knock it off. Or I pull one of these. Aww. That's what you get for stealing a church. It's going to stay there till... I'm sad and I'm going to stay sad till I do something about it. I'm impatient and I'm going to stay impatient until I find something on this sin-laden table, on this humanistic table, this man-worshipping table, that makes me feel better. And then over here God says, well, every good gift comes from me. The good gift comes over here. I have a niece. She asked me 1 year. I asked her, I go, what do you want for Christmas? And she gave the good girl answer. She did. She gave the good girl answer. I would like a shirt would be nice. You know what? For grandma and grandpa, that's a wonderful answer. I am Uncle Matt. You don't tell me to buy you a shirt. Well, I'll get you all the shirts you want. But what do you want? Well, I don't know. Maybe maybe some things for my hair. A book, a nice book would be nice. That's wonderful. I like that. These are great ideas. But what do you want? Listen, Dad's not here. It's just me and Uncle Danny. What do you want? What do you want? Well, I really want this. Got you. Uncle Matt likes to give good gifts. Not gifts you're going to grow out of. Not gifts you're just going to last for a little while. He wants to give good gifts. That's the way our God is. He wants to give the things that matter. The things that will last. Sufficient things. Not flash in the pan. Not distractions. Not drinks from a well where you'll thirst again. When we were dead in our trespasses and sin, we had no guilt. When we were dead in our trespasses of sin, though we felt no guilt, we were still guilty. Because though we did not believe in a God, nor did we find ourselves held responsible to anybody's religion, whether we had a religion or not, we were still guilty. I liken our lost estate to these people nowadays. They call themselves sovereign citizens. They will plow through a school zone at 107 miles per hour and then be brought before a judge and asked what jurisdiction the judge has, or if the judge has jurisdiction over his case. I live here. I use the roads here. But you can't hold me responsible to your laws. That's how they live. That's how we lived. And you know what I have found? And I probably watch this too much. I like watching court cases. I don't know why. Like not televised ones, but real ones. I like watching real ones. And every time somebody stands up and says, this court has no authority over me. I'm outside of the citizenship of America, even though I was born here. I get welfare here. I use the roads here. My kids go to the schools here. Even though I'm using all of this stuff, I'm not responsible for things like taxes and following the law. You know what happens to every single last one of them who break the law and make that argument? Same handcuffs the other guys get. Same jail cell. Because even though you don't want to recognize the law that you're under, you're still under that law. You may not feel guilt. You may not feel responsible. Oh, but buddy, you are. No, you don't understand. I'm more clever than the average bear. I know about ancient laws that circumnavigate the laws we have today. Right? Oh, no, you don't understand. Back in the 1700s, there was this grand philosopher that said this, therefore there is no God. Nietzsche says that God is dead. So I appeal to that. You could appeal to whatever you want. You can make whatever claim you want. But God's judicial system works His way, not yours. We're still guilty. There's a God you didn't create. There's a God nobody created. Sunday nights we're going to be looking at some gods man created, and we're going to look at it, the way they were created and what philosophies they were created for. And those are strong illustrations of what happens when man creates a God. Modern religion, they think they're so clever. Not modern, but modern atheists, they think they're so clever. Well, you see, the Jews believe this, but the Sumerians believed it before them. So clearly. The Sumerians had gods that reflected them, reflected their desires for lust and envy and greed, and was complicit and comforted them in their debauched behavior. There has never been a God created by man that condemned man for his sin. And the things that where you do see where there's condemnation from those gods, it looks a whole lot what you see in Genesis, and I'm telling you. God is not a creation of man. Because no man would create a God that said the things He says. He has a law. And that law is specific. And every single last person ever living has broken that law at one time or another. We've transgressed it in one way, one shape, one form, however you want to put it, we have. And because of that, there was one sentence. Isn't that weird how every now and then you see people, they're up for the same crime? You sit there, well, that's attempted murder. In Michigan, it's this. In Ohio, it's that. You go over here to Maine, and they'll do this to you. With sin and God, there's only one punishment for it. One. And outside of the grace of God, each and every last one of us was headed for it. Each and every last one of us, we fit that bill, man. Well, did they do this? Yep. Did they mean to do it? Yep. Was there some way that they were told not to do it? Absolutely. So God covered all the bases in making sure we had everything we needed to not do it, and we did it anyway. And folks, let me burst some bubbles here. Even if God had never warned us not to do these things, by the very nature of those activities, we'd still go to hell. We're told from the Bible that we come forth out of the womb speaking lies. Everything we sought for to give us love, to give us joy, to give us peace, to give us fulfillment, everything we did only took from us more. I have an uncle. Couldn't get him to quit drinking, man. Could not get him to quit drinking. And it's the only thing that makes me happy. It's the only thing that makes me happy. Why would I give up something that makes me happy? Only thing that gives me happy. Only thing that gives me peace. Only thing that makes my life worth living. It's just all these things he would say. He had a beautiful daughter, a wonderful girl. She's out there. She's got a job. She's building her life. You know, but it hurt her to lose her dad when the drinking killed him. I can't live without this. No, sir. It's killing you. It killed him. Now, I'm not sitting there saying he died from complications. His liver quit. Quit. It was his daughter that found him. He sought for life among the death. Some people, they'll seek, in their lost estate, they need to find joy, so they go shopping, pill popping, anything else. That kind of rhymed. That was neat. I don't have another third rhyme there. That would have been awesome. They'll do whatever they can. And what does it do? Short, cheap little thrill. Whoop, there you go. Quick little sip, and you need another. Quick little breath of fresh air, a second wind that's quickly gone. Might last you a few days, might last you a week, might give you a high that lasts about a year. Some things only buy you a couple hours. And in the end, you're a few bucks broker, your body's a little better, and that brain of yours is still craving more stimulation. Because by the way, that's why sin is so enticing. It stimulates the brain. And the devil tricks us into thinking that that stimulation only comes from things we find here on earth. And it's killing us. But this is a happy sermon, I promise. Verse 17. Every good gift. Now, why does it make a distinction between good and perfect? Well, let's look at what good is. Good gifts are gifts that are, well, good. They're good. Why do we chase after stimulation? Because we want fulfillment. We want something to make us feel good while we're living here on earth. You know what has done wonders for my mental health, if I'm allowed to talk like that? My salvation. So you're saying you're never sad? That's not what I said. I just said it's done wonders. It's done wonders. You can't live on this beautiful blue ball without feeling some sorrow, some sadness, and some hair-ripping grief. You can't do it. But if I have to live on a cursed and dying world, it sure is nice to be able to do so with a relationship with God. Nobody should have to go through this stuff alone. If I had to pick one person. We used to play that game in high school. You ever play that game? If you were stuck on a deserted island, who would you want to be stuck on that island with? And everybody would have different answers. Some of them gross. Some of them, you know, practical. I'd want a Navy SEAL with me. I'd want you.
Matt, who do you want?
I want Jesus with me. No, really. He can walk on water. What's your Navy SEAL going to do? Unless he's got a radio and we're within radio distance, what's he going to do? Well, for survival, man, he could take 5 loaves and 2 fish or however have you and make a feast out of it. We're going to be eating for days till they come if he chooses to stay. Well, you know, God could sometimes be hard. He might test you while you're on that island. I'll come back stronger. Everybody else you ever see, well, what happened? They got lost out at sea. They are burned in the face. Their skin is peeling. They are emaciated. They're dehydrated. They're every kind of aided you could think coming out of that boat. We found the survivor out there in the middle of the ocean from this boat wreck. They look terrible. The Lord tests you. I'll come back stronger. That's the way it's going to be. That's who I want. What if he just sits there? Well, it'd sure be good to be the only guy stuck on a deserted island with some peace on day one. And I'm not talking about peace and quiet. I'm just talking about peace. Because if he ain't moving, I ain't worried. It's like when doctors and nurses come over, they say, hey, we're so sorry for the delay. No, I hate being in the hospital, but my favorite way to be in a hospital is when nobody has to run for me. You know what I mean? Because if they're running for you, you're in trouble. I don't like to sit there. I don't like to be there. I don't want to be there. But if I got to be there, I don't want to be red level, whatever they call it. I don't want to be code, the most serious they got. Let me be a more peaceful case. Well, we think we need a stimulation, but you know what you need? Forgiveness. You'll scrabble the rest of your life trying to prove that you don't need to belong to any rules, that nobody can tell you, that you're a strong, independent, whatever you are. And you'll never feel a thing from it. You know what you need? Forgiveness.
Well, that requires humility, and I ain't going to put my neck down so low.
I put my neck all the way down. I'm with you. I don't like to be submissive to a lot of different people. And there's a lot of people's opinions I just don't care about. But when it comes down to the Lord Jesus Christ, I put my neck all the way down. I know what I am. And I know what he's willing to do. And I know I can trust him. What about guidance? Some of the people in this church, I've noticed a certain quality of you that you're beginning to take some of the young people under your wing and show them things. Show them things in life. Show them things how to do things in church. Just being a friend to them. I hope you understand that you're doing that for the Lord. And I hope you understand that the Lord's going to bless what you're doing. When I was a boy, my dad, and you know I love my dad, he didn't go to church with me. While my mom's saved now, she wasn't then. She didn't go to church with me. It was men and women in the church who looked after me. It was a man in the church, again, loved my dad. He didn't quite abandon me. I love my dad, but it was a man in the church, Jim Gill, who taught me how to tie a tie. A man by the name of Rich Warlick, who checked it every Sunday. I inherited suit coats. I was gifted Bibles, Bible studies. I was welcomed into the pews and homes of the people in my church. Those men in the church that had me come over under the guise of doing chores, but they sat with me and they talked with me, biblical things, masculine things. Taught me how to do things. There's still some things that I learned. And when my dad went to go teach me, I said, oh yeah, no, I know how to do that. And I showed him and it impressed him. And that's a gift too. I loved that God provided for me guidance when I was saved. Guidance when I was a young man. And I love seeing that right here in our church. Safety. Safety. We got some things we got to vote on to increase the safety of our building. There's some things I do in my own house to create the image of safety. There were things that we did back in COVID days at work. And I said, this isn't going to do anything, but we did it anyway. Why? Because it provided an appearance of safety. My safety comes from one person alone, and that's God. Anything else is just an obstacle course for the devil to run through, and I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I was talking to a young person, and it was, well, I'm scared that this is going to happen. And I said, well, let me tell you what's going to have to happen for that to happen. Number one, whoever it is going to have to get past God, and you can't do that. Now, let's imagine that God lets somebody go through that. They would then have to get past this, what we're doing with the doors, this, what we're doing with the cameras, this, what we're doing. Then they would have to get past that labyrinth of fun. And at that point, if they get past all of that, they're going to be good and tired. And they'll have to get past us. But the very first stop is our God. That's what you need. That's what you need. Well, why would we do that if you already feel safe? I already told you. It's important not to be dumb. Got to be a good steward. A good steward takes care of and protects. But safety comes from God ultimately. And you know what I have found that I have needed from God? Compassion, because not only do I make mistakes, but I make mistakes loud and I make mistakes often. How about you? I love some compassion from my God. Even when I'm not sinning against Him, even when I'm just having a rough go of it, and folks, sometimes we have a rough go of it. I don't know what's on my face, but I was in the back. Somebody asked if I was feeling okay, and I said, yes, I am. They're like, no, you're not. Oh man, I'm getting uglier. Listen, we go through it. I go through it. I'm going through it right now. I bet you are too. Some of you, you share with me how you're going through it. And you'll see so many times when you're going through it, God grants to you compassion. It's nice. It's life affirming. It is shade on a blazing hot day. How about family? You know how great it is to be able to sit there and say, my kids have more grandparents than most people? And not just because we got some weird marital practices in my family. Because they can just come on in and see people, know people, and love people. I got a good family. I'm not going to sit there and try to create a weird testimony here. I got a decent family. We don't always get along. But I had family. And then one day God gave me bigger family. And I've known some people, they had no family. And they found theirs in Jesus. Family. I don't know why y'all care for me. And some days I don't know why I care for you. I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. Family. And comfort. I'll talk to people. We tell them that we homeschool. And they say, aren't you worried that your kids aren't going to be properly socialized? Oh, no. I have never found that to be our case. Anybody here, you were there when my daughter was talking to Brother Reynolds? I am not worried about my children having public anxiety. Social anxiety, sorry. I'm not worried about that. For those of you that weren't there, my dear daughter proposed to Brother Reynolds, pastor of 12 Ryan Baptist Church. And I was so mortified that I went over and started loading the car. And just, Of course, he parked next to me and we're talking and I'm like, brother, I don't know. I clearly don't know what I'm doing as a parent. And as if on cue, she comes out of the darkness with her mom. Oh, my friend! I'm going to marry him. Sometimes I get into problems in my parenting, and I call my mom just to hear someone laugh about it. Family. Yeah, but he's from a different church. That man's a brother to me. Like the really cool older one who teaches you stuff. I called Brother Graber my fun uncle one time. It's true. But not the one that, you know, takes you to the greenhouse so you can throw rocks through it, but the one who, again, shows you how to live, gives you a leg up in life. Heaven. And with heaven, no fear of death. Truth. Man, you search your whole life for truth. Whose truth? My truth, your truth, their truth, social truth, peer pressure truth, truth from our culture, truth from their culture. What truth? This truth right here, man. Right here. Somebody I was having a conversation with an atheist one time, and they said, I already know what you're going to ask me. I go, oh, do tell. You're going to say that without the laws of God, without the Ten Commandments, how do I know not to kill people? And I'm going to tell you it's because I'm a good person. And I just kind of laughed. I go, the reason why you don't kill people is because you haven't been properly tempted. You would put you in the right situation, you probably would. I don't need God to tell me not to kill people for it to make sense. It just makes sense that a perfect and wonderful God would want us not to. Well, I don't have to be verbally abusive to people like you. And he called me a name. And I go, But the difference between you following God's laws because you think they are decent and me following God's laws is you think that following them makes you a decent person. I know I can do all those things and there's still something inside of me that would still be wrong. I know that they are not reliant on whether or not society thinks they are right. But they're right because God says they're right. So truth. And with that truth, structure. And through structure, we have strength. Through strength, wisdom. And then we'll get into the fruit of the Spirit. I tell you what, we're running a little late. Go ahead and look at them. What is it that we're doing for love? Well, I got to dive into this kind of relationship. I got to dive into that kind of relationship. I got to respect other people's idea of what marriage and relationships are. I got to make sure that everybody likes me. So I got to shave certain parts of me off. I got to make sure that I fit in with society so I can't be too godly. And we bend and stretch and pull and we fall into a weird kind of false reality so people will love us. But God loved me before the foundation of the earth. Put my name in a book. Any other kind of love can go take a walk. What do I need any other kind of love for? Well, don't you think it's nice? No, it's anxiety ridden. I'm telling you, man. Well, I gotta fit in with these people. I gotta do this. I gotta believe that. Well, they say that if I don't believe this, I'm not compassionate. I wanna be a loving and compassionate person. So I gotta believe this. Well, if society's changed, okay. Well, we gotta believe this person now. God loved me without me having to do anything. He says, if I love him, all I got to do to show it is keep his commandments. I don't got to buy him flowers. I don't got to crawl on my knees up some staircase. I ain't got to do nothing to show my love. but keep his commandments. I mean, come on. And what do we know about his commandments? They ain't grievous. You find me one life-rending thing that God has told you to do, and I'll apologize. You ain't going to find it. You got the Muslims out there, kill the infidel. God tells you to love your enemy. If that's breaking your arm, man, I don't know what to tell you. Joy. You want joy. So what do we do to get joy? We chase giggles everywhere. Peace. We sedate ourselves. We focus on our problems. We blame our mama and our papa. We blame our pastors and preachers and Sunday school teachers. We blame society. We blame the white man. We blame the dark man. We blame everybody but us. So we can have peace that, by the way, will never show up. Long suffering. Kindness. How do I better tolerate the chicanery going on around me? How do I better handle how other people act? Again, you could chase every bottle, every pill, every self-help book. Go ahead. You know how many times people come to pastors? They did it to my pastor. They probably did it to his pastor. And every now and then somebody comes and does it to me. What is a good book to help me shut off my sin nature? Folks, if there was a book that could shut off your sin nature, I would buy it for you. I'd buy you several copies, show up multiple times a year on your doorstep, and read it to you. It don't exist. I want a magical verse that I can recite in my head, and abracadabra, poof, I'm long-suffering and kind. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Oh, and let's not forget self-control. You're going to find the good gifts in one place. And that's in Jesus Christ. Lord, please give me. And you ask for any of those things, and it's yours. But don't mess with the formula. You understand what I mean by that? You can't chase godly living. You can't chase godly gifts. You won't find them over here. You won't find them over here. You got to go straight to God. And what He gives you, you don't dilute it. You don't dilute it. I'm a fan of what I like to call good coffee. Good coffee. And you may call me a snob, but I like the official term for it, and that's being right. That Folgers Maxwell stuff. I can't remember who I was talking to. We were bagging on Starbucks coffee. Why does Starbucks coffee taste the way it does? Because it's burnt. Why is it burnt? Because they get their beans from all over the place, and they got to make sure nothing living gets into your coffee, so they burn it. And then they store it. And then some person with pronouns and a liberal arts degree is going to grind it up. They're going to burn it inside the coffee pot that's way too hot. They're going to set it out on a countertop. And if somebody doesn't come and steal your order, by the time you get to it, it is dead. Same thing goes with that freeze-dried stuff we keep in the back, man. Why does it taste like that? That's the way it's designed to taste, man. It's free. You killed it. I like good coffee. Every now and then I'll come back and I'll put some coffee in there. We'll have to make a second pot. We'll grab some of the bags out there. You take what's left of the bad coffee and I'll put it in my good coffee. It does not improve the flavor. And as a matter of fact, when I take what I call bad coffee and I put it into the good coffee, it ruins the good coffee. I ask you a question. Why do you keep reaching into ungodly things and mixing them into godly things? I asked you the question, now I'm going to answer it for you. If you didn't know this answer, write it down. It's because you're trying to make godly things more palatable, and you need to understand what that says. you've fallen off the diet. We should be weaned off the milk. We should be weaned off sinful things and gone on to the whole foods of God. We ought to desire the good gifts and nothing but. When I want happiness, well, I asked God for happy. 10 minutes later, I still felt the same, so I went out and I'm on now. You need a sustained relationship. You need to be able to be close to Him. And the fruit of the Spirit takes time to grow. And by the way, effort. Let it be every perfect gift. Ecclesiastes 3:14 perfectly is a perfect example of what we mean by perfect gift. When he says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Now that word fear doesn't mean like, oh no. That fear is, how do you do that? What? How is he able to do that? I heard an old fellow one time, he was giving his kind of his life story there, how he was a very aggressive and angry man most of his life. And I'm like, well, I'll hear some of that. How'd you fix it? He's a Christian man. I go, what happened? You know what he said he did? He tried therapy. He tried drinking. He tried medication. He tried it all. Never found peace from that anger inside of him. You know what he said he did? He said he took up sitting on the porch at the end of his chores, praying and just sitting in the presence of God. Now, you're Mary and Martha Brain's doing this. Well, that's not how that works. I get that I need to take a sit down, but maybe I need a trip to Tahiti. Maybe I need to go to Mount Rushmore or Mount this or Mount that over there. Maybe I need to go through go down to someplace tropical or get on a boat. I get you. I need to sit down. That'll make me more calm. He sat there, one of the busiest men you know. He was not somebody talking about taking a day off of work just to sit there. He literally said that at the end of his work day, when he got done all the things he needed to get done, he would sit on his front porch and he would watch the world go by while he prayed and just sat in the presence of God. He said, I'd have my Bible in my lap. Sometimes I wouldn't have my Bible in my lap, but it was just time spent with God. And Mary and Martha in my head go, well, that's not natural. You need something worldly to fix this problem. All good gifts, all perfect gifts, come from God. And as Solomon, who literally did everything, will tell you in Ecclesiastes, there is nothing you can add to it. There is nothing you can take from it. It is perfect, and it will leave you in awe. To hear that man say, he found peace in Jesus Christ from doing nothing but relying on him to give it to him, left me, and you can hear it in his voice, leaves him in awe. Just don't add to it. Don't take away. Why? It's perfect. It's sufficient. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 20, I put that in your notes for you, you're welcome. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And that word salvation does not mean salvation from our sins and death and hell. What that means is salvation from our problem. Whatever problem you got, you will find the solution in Christ. And it will not be through some ritualistic behavior. It will not be in perfect church attendance. It will not be in doing all the things you're supposed to do and serving Him all the ways you're supposed to. It'll be something He reaches into His pocket and gives to you. You cannot barter for it. You have to hope and wait for it. For Mary and Martha, they had to wait 3 days for God to keep His promise. Some of us, we can't wait till the end of the television show. Some of us, we can't wait till the end of the hour. But we were very much like the disciples when we were told to watch and pray, and instead of watching and praying, we fell asleep. What God has to give us is perfect. What God has to give us is perfecting. It means it makes us better and improves us. You ain't going to find it here in this world. Oh, there's a lot of really fun things. Man, there's a lot of good stuff. Man, you find in the herbs and the vegetables and the things that God gave us, man, there is medicine and food. There's beauty in sunsets. There's something to working hard with your hands, building something incredible, and being able to step back and look at it and say, wow, that's pretty cool. There's something to it. This life is good. There's a lot of good things in this world. But they can't do for you what God can do for you only. Sat there, we built a chicken coop. It didn't take me long before I finished it. I said, you know what would be fun is if we started something on the other side of the coop. Now, ain't that the way you are? I planted this, but you know what would be neat? If I did this. Well, we did this bathroom, but we got another bathroom. We do that all the time, don't we? And that's good. Man was made to putter. Keep puttering. But you'll never be satisfied in the puttering. Puttering may be good for you. You'll never be satisfied. Well, I need a new hobby. Hobbies are fun. I like hobbies. Hobbies give a chance for your brain to relax and to... But you know what I've never found in any hobby I've ever picked up? Satisfaction. I get a thrill out of it. I get a giggle out of it. It's a lot of fun. Then you sit there and you build the thing. You do the thing. You learn the thing. And you look back and you go, that was pretty neat. Oh, look at what they're doing. And that's fine. Man was made to putter. Go ahead. But you got to know that about you. That's going to tickle your brain for however long your brain will tolerate it. Some of us, we got a shorter attention span than others. That'll tickle your brain, but that ain't going to fulfill you. I'm not saying abandon it. I'm just saying know what its nature is. You're here for decades. And not every minute of time can be spent in prayer and vacuuming the church floor. Go get your giggles. But every good gift, every perfect gift, comes from the Lord. I titled this morning's message, I Found It in Jesus. Somebody came up with a song just recently, and I've listened to it till I just... Anybody else, you do that? You find your new favorite song and you listen to it till you can't stand it anymore? I found it in Jesus. Everything that I wanted, everything that I needed. Your point number three there, I ain't skipping it. This is point number three, empty your pockets. What does that passage of Scripture say? Lay aside the superfluity of naughtiness. Lay aside the sin. Get those things out of your pockets. You need room for what God's giving you. Get your bag. Because when you learn to go to Christ for your solutions, for the gifts, for everything wonderful in this life. If you think you're having fun now, wait till God starts blessing you the way He's giving you things in this passage of Scripture. You wait. You're excited about seasoning. Wait till the meat comes. Get ready. But you got to lay aside those things first. Those things from the table of death that don't give you anything, that don't honor God, the things that God told you not to do. And the fun things that God allows, you got to stop trying to use those as some kind of a substitution for what He has for you. But sit there with the things that God allows and the things that God gives us to make life just a little bit sweeter. You add those to the good and perfect gifts that God gives, and now you're living. Now you're living. That's how I want to be. Because there is nothing like having the fruit of the Spirit in the middle of a storm. Well, aren't you going through it? Yeah. So you don't have no joy, right? No, I got joy. That's impossible. I know. I'm bringing grave clothes, I'm bringing a change of clothes. I know it don't make no sense, but that's what He said. And it's there. Peace, joy, long-suffering. What about all these things? How do you have those when everything's going on around you? God put them there. And no circumstances are blowing them away, and I can't get rid of them. He put them there. So if we want good and perfect gifts that cannot be removed, they come from one person and one person alone. And He should be the only one we trust to give it to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You so much for all the wonderful things You give us. Lord, there's not just the supernatural and the spiritual things that You give to our lives, but You give us fun things like warm buildings and hay rides and apple cider in the fall. Lord, You let us build barns and You let us build chicken coops and You bless the work of our hands. You cause our flowers to grow. You give us hobbies that we can lift up to You and praise You with. Lord, You give us music we can sing our happiness in. Father, You have filled our lives with so many wonderful things to entertain us. But Lord, You've also given us the things that were necessary. The things that we shouldn't be seeking in the day-to-day fun, but Lord, only from You. Help us, Lord, to hope and trust in You, for our source of all things good and all things perfect. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Well, stand and turn our books to page